Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
All right, today we are going to begin a new sermon series called Who You Are. And we'll do this all throughout November, something a little bit different, hopefully something that's going to be a little bit fun, at least fun for me. I don't know how much fun y'all are going to have. But it's based off of a song that's out right now called Waymaker. The song is actually written by a Nigerian artist. The person who's kind of made it very popular here is Michael W. Smith. And Abby is going to play just a very small clip. All right, so just a small little sample for you. If you want the rest, you got to Google it. You got to go find it. But that's basically what it's talking about. It's talking about those four things, and that's who you are. That's who God is. So the first one the song says is God is a way maker, and that's where we are going to spend our time today. Before we jump into the scripture, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22. Abby, you can go ahead and put that one up. It's on page 15 in your Bible, so it's at the front. It's just page 15. You don't even have to flip far. But here's what's happened. In Genesis 12, God has made Abraham, a promise that he would make a great nation through his bloodline. And his wife was very old. Sarah was very old. She was barren. And then when she turns 90, they have a legitimate son together. And Abraham knows this is God's promise to fulfill that this great nation that God is going to do through them. And then we're going to pick up in Genesis 22 and see how that story takes a completely and dramatic twist. So here are these words from Genesis chapter 22 this morning. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship. Then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of God given for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered here, may they be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. So I got one point today, and it's a big one, and I don't want you to miss it. The point of the message is so simple, it's just this. God is a way maker. God is a way maker. That's who He is. There's an old song by Don Moen that says, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Anybody heard that song back from the 90s? A couple of you. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. God does make a way oftentimes when we can see no way. The question really becomes, do we have the faith and the trust to live out this statement in our everyday life? You see, Abraham did in verse 5. I think this is so powerful. Abraham says to his help, he says, stay here. Watch the donkey. Me and my boy, we're going to go over there where this is supposed to go down. But here's what's going to happen. We're going to get there. We're going to worship, which for them in the Old Testament would have meant they are going to spend time in the presence of God. And he says, we will return. It's plural. He says, we will return. You see, he knew that God was a way-making God. Before he even walked into the trial, before he even started the journey, he knew that God was a way-making God. But then in the midst of the journey, in the midst of the trial, in verse 8, he tells his son. Now, we always, when I was growing up, I always thought this was like a little boy. You know, like, oh, it's cute. He's got his little son. This is like Logan. Like 9, 10, 11 kind of years. He's strong enough to carry the wood. And he's smart enough to say, hey, Dad, I see how we're going to start a fire. And I've seen this before. There's no animal. And he's looking around. It's just his dad and it's just him. So he's old enough to comprehend these things. But Abraham, you got to, parents, grandparents, you got to believe when asked this, he had to reach to a deep place in his heart. He had to reach to a deep place in his faith to say to his son, God himself will provide the lamb. God himself will provide the lamb. You see, Abraham knows that even in the midst of the trial, even in the midst of when life is not going the way we want it to go, God is a way-making God. But then the story kind of gets odd. He's actually going to go through with it. He believes. A lot of scholars and theologians and people way smarter than me that write all these books that are really hard to read, but they believe that Abraham was willing to go through with it because he believed that even if he did it, God would raise him back from the dead and they would still return back together because the promise of the many nations, Father Abraham couldn't have many sons, and many sons couldn't have Father Abraham. Some of you paid attention in vacation Bible school when you were little. If Isaac wasn't there. And so he's actually going to go through with this. If you've ever gone hunting and spent any time in the woods, you know this. Animals don't get caught right in front of you to where the point they can't get away. It just doesn't happen. You can sit there all morning freezing cold, begging. I have begged. Hey, God, if you'd let that horns get stuck in the thicket one more time, I'll take care of the rest of it. It's never happened. It's never happened. God was making a way when Abraham could see no other way. So living like we know God is a way making God is going to be hard, isn't it? So what do we do? Well, we have to walk into every situation with the faith, knowing that God is a way making God. That means sometimes even before we go into that doctor's appointment, we know God's a way making God. That means sometimes even before we open that piece of mail or we go into that meeting at work, we have to know that God is a way making God. Not that the outcome's going to turn out the way we hope it will turn out, but even if it doesn't, God will make a way to see us through. We have to trust in the midst of the trial that as we walk this journey of life, sometimes the way doesn't end the way you want it to end. And on All Saints Sunday, I think we know that, don't we? See, there's names up here on this sheet, and their story didn't end the way we wanted it to end. It might have ended the way they wanted it to end, because guess where they are now, right? They're in the presence of something we can barely even understand. But our hearts are broken because the story didn't keep going. But when we believe that God is a way-making God, what we're saying is, even if this turns out not the way I want it to, He's going to give me the peace that I can't explain to anybody else. He's going to make a way for me to get through. He's going to make a way for a friend to come up and to say the right thing at the right time. He's going to make a way for a family to step up and love each other again. That He's going to make a way. He might have to drag us through life in the pain, but He's going to do it. We have to have that trust that God's going to provide what we need when we need it. And sometimes that's a good cry. Sometimes it's good memory stories. Sometimes it's just a bad day. You know, sometimes you need just a bad day. Sometimes you just need to have a bad day. But the next day, you need to wake up into God's mercies and have a good day. So some of you may be thinking, well, my situation certainly doesn't look like God's made a way. So let's just twist the scripture a little. Not twist it, but let's turn our attention. I think you'll recognize this one. It's John 3:16 and 17. See if you can hear how God made a way. It said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." See, He did what He asked Abraham to do and then didn't let Abraham do. God went through with it. It says He gave His only begotten Son so that whosoever believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Does that sound like a way? Can you get to that place by yourself? I hate to tell you, because I like most of you. Thank you for laughing at that. You never know how those jokes are going to go, because I do love all of you. But you can't get to eternal life by yourself. I don't want to burst your bubble, but you can't. So that's a way that God made through what He did with Jesus. Verse 17 says, "God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that it might be saved through Him." We can trust that God is a way-making God for no other reason than because He sent Jesus and He made a way for us to return back into a right standing relationship with Him. We live in a broken and sinful world, and there's all sorts of things that I can't explain to you. Our faith can't explain everything. The Bible is not going to explain why all, you could come up with all these scenarios. Why this, but why that, but why this, and how about this, and why? And I don't know. I don't know what to tell you other than we live in a broken world where God is still working, even if we can't see Him. So today is All Saints Sunday, and I've already shared with you, it's a day where we remember all those that have passed before, but especially those that have passed between the first Sunday of November last year and the first Sunday of November this year. So these seem kind of like an odd text for today when I was preparing it. Because in the story that we read, the story turns out great, but all our stories don't always turn out great. But then it hit me that if anyone knows that God is truly a way-making God, then it's each and every name on this sheet. Because they have walked that way. And they now are spending eternity in heaven. You see, I had what you would call a tough week. And then I had what you call a pity party. Y'all ever have those? Yeah, every once in a while. Some of you need to work on telling the truth in church. But I had myself a little pity party, and at first I thought it was because I was just busy. And I was just busy, and I'm trying to tell everybody God's going to make a way for them, and I don't feel like he's making a way for me. That was my attitude. Then I realized, no, it's not because you're busy. It's because of all these papers you got to write, and you're supposed to be done with school, and now you're frustrated, and maybe you just don't need to be frustrated. You just need to do something to be non-frustrated. But I just kept getting more and more frustrated because God wasn't making a way through those papers. The computer was making a way through those papers. But finally, after 3 days of struggling, in a matter of 3 hours, 28 pages were done. I couldn't tell you what I wrote. God just works sometimes. He just makes a way. But this morning it hit me why I didn't want to preach this text today and why I struggled about God making a way this week. And that's because of two conversations that I had with two men of faith shortly before they passed. And I remembered their words, and I remembered their example, and I remember what they told their families and nurses. And they didn't use this phrase, but what they were saying was their faith told them everything was going to be okay. And what that meant was God was going to make a way for them. And that had been laying heavy on my heart this week, and I didn't realize it. So I went back to familiar words from John 14. If you've ever been to a Southern Methodist funeral, you've heard John 14. But I want you to hear it today. It's normally read to the family as a claim over the family to have peace during troubled times. But I want you to hear it today in a different light. I want you to hear it today as an invitation that Jesus is still making a way when we feel like there is no way. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He says, "Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." He's still making a way, isn't he? You see, he's even preparing a room in his Father's house. He's making a way. God showed us through countless times throughout Scripture that he was a way-making God. Jesus shows us that he is preparing a place for us, that he is a way maker. And then right before Jesus ascends to heaven, he gives the promise of the Holy Spirit to him. And he says, "This will make sure that you are not alone, you are not orphaned. The Holy Spirit is here, and it will continue to make a way for you to get through this life and to feel connected to the Father." So today on All Saints Sunday, I want you to remember that our God is a way-making God. Through the joys and the memories, remember that he is a way-making God. Through the tears and the heartache, remember that he is indeed a way-making God. And then remember today and every day that we must walk in faith knowing that our God is a way-making God. Remember today and every day to trust God in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your storms, that He is still going to make a way even when you can see no way. And remember today and every day that to prove that He is a way-making God, Jesus is making a place for you. He has already made a path possible for you, and the Holy Spirit continues to lead and guide us until we join all the saints from around the world. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.